Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from not one, not two, but three technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our dads tell people when they need help setting up a mesh Wi-Fi network. And honestly, that's a tough one even for us. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two or three once again along the way.
Ah, that was a good one. That
was great show. Great show, guys. I like all the dead air.
Is this your first time? Why don't you say something?
You didn't even fucking deuce me, bro.
I said a laugh or two or three. That's the introduction. You're supposed to laugh or something.
I set you up with the three technology experts.
You're a technology expert, and you can laugh. What more do you want from this show?
Yeah. My goodness. Well, Eddie, after that goddamn disaster, that real debacle of an intro, thanks to Sam, with, by the way, the most visually busy shirt I've ever seen, with all sorts of text that doesn't come across
well on camera. Says the guy that's wearing
the
1980s suit top with a t-shirt, bro.
It's
that's got more
Paisley.
Patterns than liquid glass.
Have you ever heard of Paisley? Yeah, we're matching. Right, where's your Paisley, bro?
If I want to do this, I got a lot of we got a lot of work to do to get this show back on the ropes.
Yeah.
It's falling off.
You're right, we do. I'm going to just completely hard left turn, switch topics. I want to talk about liquid glass because you mentioned it one time. We're talking about text that's hard to read, a la your shirt and your terrible wardrobe decisions, I think we have to talk about the elephant in the room. Okay. And you know what? I want to ask the chat, what is everybody's thought on liquid glass? Because I don't know about you, but I have noticed, at least in my audience on my videos, very divided opinions on this. Have you guys noticed that as well?
Yeah, Noah's a big YouTuber. What has your audience said, Noah?
Okay. I don't know about my audience, but I've been looking on Twitter and there's been quite a bit. There's been a lot of slamming it. There's been a few particular screenshots that have been circulating a lot and getting a lot of likes, you know, bashing it. But I've seen some positive sentiment. People are excited about it or what it can be after Apple cleans it up a bit during the beta cycle. So seen both ways.
Yeah,
I've heard it both ways.
I think it's awesome. I think it's the future.
My question, Sam, was what does your audience think of it? Not you.
I don't really read the comments anymore.
Whoa. You heard it here first,
like,
ladies and gentlemen.
Be here anymore. Come on.
I just get shitted on constantly, so I try to avoid.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. Do you hear that? You heard it here first. This is a Dark Mode exclusive. Sam has been cyberbullied out of his own comment section. That's tough.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Great job.
You're doing God's work, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be honest. It's mostly gentlemen.
He needs to be humbled.
No, yeah. I think people like it. I think there's people being loud about not liking it, but also those people are wrong, so it's like they don't really matter.
That's honestly very fair. I had the same thought because, like, I do read my comment section because I care about my job, and I've noticed there's a lot of people that it's like, do you really have nothing better to do than just whine about everything? And my favorite part about it is, it's so funny because when I make a video, like two videos ago, I talked about how iOS is super buggy and it's frankly unacceptable. And then this week I made a video about how liquid glass is a really big move. It's something that made me feel like we're back in the days of old Apple, trying something for the sake of trying something. And when I made videos criticizing iOS's bugginess, I got comments saying, what are you talking about? It's perfect. You're just a hater. When I made a video talking about how liquid glass is a good, bold move, I got comments saying, they changed it for no reason. You're just a sycophant. So I'm like, well, now hang on a minute. Am I a hater or a sycophant? Because it's the same guy 2 weeks apart. What's it going to be here?
Yeah, you can never win.
You really can't.
Well, luckily you're neither. You're just you. And that's why you're so awesome.
That's a long one.
That was really a lot of long screaming one. In there too.
You want they were excited.
This goes on for 3 minutes, so buckle
three
in.
3 minutes?
Okay.
I'll put an end to that.
Sorry. My favorite part about that, I really love the way that it was compressed into a sort of underwater fish tank from 2006 on recorded on a Zune. That's kind of what it sounded like on my end really anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that people will get to experience that live. We got some great comments here. I think all very accurate. Really no notes on that. That's honestly fair. Yeah. But I do have a couple of notes for iOS 26 and Liquid Glass. Sam, you and I the other day were talking about the windows in macOS. That is my biggest problem with the new design language, because I don't know if you've played around with this at all, Noah, because you're not a degenerate who has 78 MacBooks. But
of course,
I don't love the new window design, and forgive me, this is going to be a dark mode, classic, fantastic, me holding up a thing on camera so you can see it, but the new windows, I'm just going to kind of peek around the side here, the drop shadow is way too much, like up here, look at all that drop shadow.
Yeah.
It looks weird because there's a slight drop shadow on the sidebar. But it's, hang on a minute. You can't see that. See, there's a drop shadow on the sidebar, but it's less than on the buttons. I'm like, it just looks off. And I think it's also just a little bit, I think some of them look kind of cluttered. I feel like the usable window space has gone down a little bit. The corners are more rounded. There's more bezel and drop shadow and stuff like that. I mean, again, it's early. That's why they released these betas, so that we can all rip them to hell. I mean, do you remember the settings battery icon in the first beta of Big Sur?
Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
That's a niche reference. Let me see if I can find a picture of that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what your guys' experience has been with the betas. How many? Downloaded them?
I haven't used any of the betas, actually. Partially because I don't have a million devices sitting around, like you said. Also, fair. I guess this goes against my supposedly being a tech, not journalist, but like tech podcaster, I guess. But like, I like to have the surprise of like, not surprise, but just like, I like to experience it for the first time. When the new phones come out, or I guess when the new operating system usually comes out like a week before the phones do, and I don't install the operating system on my current phone because I know that my new phone is coming in a week and I want to experience the new system on the new phone. So I'm like, that's kind of my thing. But
oh, wow. Okay. What? So you go over the top.
You know what? It's a new – here's the thing. During the beta cycle – I know Sam's looking a little confused. During the beta cycle, it's kind of rough, right? It's rough around the edges. The battery life is terrible because there's lots of extra logging and processing and whatever stuff in the background. I used to do the betas like a few years ago. It's a little bit rough on a daily driver. And at that point, I feel like if I'm not doing the betas and I'm just waiting for the release, what's like one more week of waiting? And then I get the new phone and I get the full new experience. You know what I mean? That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Sam's leaving the chat here. That I think you've broken. You have to understand.
Noah, that was the worst take of all time. And there's been a lot of those going around.
Of all time? That's crazy.
Wow.
I didn't think it was that Hitler? Bad.
Don't even get me started on H-Man, but save that for the next episode. Mm. Listen, Noah. Mm. You clearly have an affinity for freaky things.
Well, you can
let's
say that
just
again.
Start there. Yeah, I could. And I will. You clearly have an affinity for freaky things. So why does that not extend to beta usage? I've seen what you do when the lights get dim, and I think that should apply to iOS betas as well.
I agree.
Here's the thing, though. What I do when the lights get dim, that's a private thing. That's behind closed doors, okay? That's not public. We're not We're not talking about that in public, okay? Mm-hmm. Believe you me, we'd all be, you know, in a bad place if we talked about even a little bit of what goes on.
But all I'm saying is, you do not want to be when Noah is in the club turning up on a two-a-day. That is not where you want to be.
No, you gotta evacuate immediately. But here's the thing: this is all behind closed doors. Okay, if I put the beta on my phone, I'm taking this thing out in public. I'm taking this thing around with me. I need that battery to be good. You know, I'm traveling, I'm biking, I'm working, I'm doing all my stuff. Right? I gotta have a reliable, dependable phone. I don't want to have all these bugs. I don't want the bad battery life. I don't want it to run super hot. You know what I mean? It's a difference. You know, you do some things in private, you do some things in public. I don't want to do the beta in public. Fair. That's how I'm feeling.
I have not installed it yet on my main device, but I get closer every day just because I miss it so much.
Wow, it's that good.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Really, I'm in the same boat. So I've got the beta on my 15 Pro Max. And I've got the regular on the 16 Pro Max, and I have an eSIM in here, so I can kind of just do whatever. And honestly, I've been gravitating towards it's hard to go back. I use Liquid Glass for a day, and then I go back, and I'm just like, ugh. I miss when everything is cool. Wow. It's like, because the thing is, this, and I think what's so interesting about Liquid Glass is that Apple didn't have to do this, right? They could have very easily just kept on going. And yeah, we probably would have been bummed, and I probably would have made another video about how Apple is kind of losing in the plot a little bit. But at the end of the day, would that have really had an impact on their stock price? Nope, not at all. It would have, you know, you would have had some somewhat scrumpled up, disgruntled tech fans, but really scrumpled. Nothing more than that. We'd be scrumpled as hell, let me tell you. Okay? And the fact that they did it shows that they do listen sometimes, and that they understand that if you want to maintain the reputation of being the bold company that breaks things and innovates, sometimes, and this is shocking, you got to break something and innovate, even if you don't have to. It's crazy.
Wow.
I know.
Well said, King.
Thank you, King.
So yeah, Liquid Glass is great. Everybody, it's beautiful. Listen, I understand there's people, the accessibility is not great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
That's easy to fix. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about the blur. Every single person on the entire planet that has a Twitter account said they literally just went like this. They did, and then they took a screenshot and they went, "This is terrible! Who could have done such a thing?" Bro, all they have to do is turn the blur up in the background. That's it. Just like a little bit.
But I like the way, I mean, I don't know. I'm happy it looks different. That's really what makes me happy.
I agree.
And it's a very pretty, unique design. Like, nobody else has really tried, like, glass at this level. I mean, you can argue, like, Vista.
Yep.
But this was more just like a pain. This like reflects and refracts within itself.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. It's really, really pretty.
And I think it's the
physics aspect of it more than just like the visual.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we know that like other tech companies love to copy Apple. You can look at like the Dynamic Island is kind of the latest one that lots of Android phones have something that's kind of like that. And I feel like when this comes out, a lot of those tech companies are going to try to copy Apple's glass design, but you just know it's not going to be as good. Like the attention to detail, the reflection and refraction that you said, the fact that it literally like it reflects the nearby UI elements. So not even like in the window itself, you can like put two windows next to each other or like put two things next to each other and it'll like go across windows. It's like such attention to detail, and it's like a very such like a detailed and unique effect that you just know that Android is going to try to copy it. All, you know, a lot of the launchers and you know, third parties are going to try to copy it, and it's just not going to look the same. It's going to be like maybe they'll get to Uncanny Valley where it's like almost the same but very obviously not. Maybe they won't even get that close, but I really think that this is going to be one of those uniquely Apple things that they're able to do with some of their design and some of their graphics processing and stuff.
Yeah. And I also, going back to the readability for a second, there something that I noticed was a lot of people would have screenshots of their like their home screen, and they would like pull down the notification drawer and show this just like visual overlap. And they're like, oh, this the one that I'm thinking of specifically is like, you know, they, it would just be like a messy screenshot, and it would say like, every day we stray further from Steve's vision. I'm sure you guys have seen stuff along those lines. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, I feel like that's kind of a you problem. Like, if you have your phone with a bunch of clutter on it, it's going to look bad. I've seen people with every version of iOS that make it look bad. For example, I literally just went on Google Images and looked up iOS 6. That's it. And I typed in, oh God, why is it doing this stupid thing? Oh my, sorry. I switched to a new computer and now it won't let me screen share. Go away. Why is it? It's just giving me an infinite loop of messages saying that Google Chrome would like to record your computer's screen and audio, and it won't let me click deny or accept. That's nice sick. One. Let's see if I can just ignore it. Okay. Here we go. I just put the window on my other monitor, and now I'll just pretend it's not there. But look at this. This is a screenshot of iOS 6, and it looks like crap because it has a terrible wallpaper.
No, and I kind of like it. That's kind of sick.
Bro, come on.
Each icon is in like its little house. That's kind of cool.
Bro. I mean, look, it's got its own little house, but this looks visually messy. And this is just like... every day we stray further from Steve's vision. No, every day you set up your phone in a weird way. That's what it is. You can turn off notifications if you don't want them. You can make a cleaner wallpaper if you don't want them.
They could just use a black background. That'd be fun.
Yeah, like back to the good OG days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. Hell yeah.
So I think it's good. I think it's a really good step. And yeah, I wish there was more glass, to be honest. I feel like they didn't take it far enough in some places. And
I agree. I think that there could have been... I don't even know how to describe it, but I will say this is, I think, the third time that I've noticed this. The major design changes being Yosemite on the Mac and Big Sur on the Mac. Both of those, I feel like that's where I had the most sense of that feeling, Sam. Let me see if I can pull it up, the Big Sur reveal video. Because I remember watching, here we go. Here's the official trailer for macOS Big Sur. So let me share that. And I think that they always kind of like zhuzh up the fact that they kind of exaggerate how glassy and transparent everything is. So first of all, this is a fantastic video. Hopefully it doesn't get our stream demonetized. But... once they get to the like design part of it, like look at how glassy and layered that looks.
Yeah.
Right?
macOS didn't look like that.
It didn't, it never looked like this.
Yeah.
I mean, even seeing this, I feel like this looks outdated now.
Yeah.
It looks old. It looks safe. Flat design is dead and boring.
I know. And
glass.
The thing is, I feel like flat design aged a lot faster than skeuomorphic did.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember, obviously, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I remember when iOS 7 and macOS Yosemite were coming out and we were going towards the flat design aesthetic. I was really excited because I was kind of ready to move on from skeuomorphism. I didn't like it that much at the time. So I at least liked the flat design. But honestly, within like 3-ish years of that, I was like, okay, we need it. I don't necessarily want to go back to skeuomorphism where everything like looked like a physical object, but I wanted more layer, depth, texture, something.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, iOS 7 was, it was great. I mean, it was a great, like, new design. It was completely different. It was exciting, but it was, like, really flat. And they've definitely, you know, tweaked it over. I mean, really, there hasn't been a major change to iOS since iOS 7. Now, if you put 7 and 18 next to each other, they're going to look different. But, like, there wasn't 1 year that you could point to that was, like, iOS 6 to 7. It's, like, such a huge, like, fundamental change. And it was a very, very gradual thing. But it did gradually sort of go, not to skeuomorphism, but a little bit, you know, they went all the way to, like, flat lines and you know, clean and whatever. And by this point, it's kind of gone a little bit back, and we've gotten some, you know, other sort of design elements. And now we're getting this big thing of moving to the glass. But I agree. Maybe it's just a fact of the time, like technology moving faster, that we, you know, we had skeuomorphism for a very long time and things are speeding up and, you know, whatever. And the design kind of gets older. Maybe it was just kind of boring when it came out initially, and it was something new, and then it just kind of got old. But I'm excited for this, like the glass and like the neuromorphism stuff that we've been talking about before. It's like, it's a new design, which is exciting because the other stuff was getting a bit stale, like you guys said, but it's like also kind of hopefully a little bit exciting. It's not just like super flat and boring, you know, like it was.
Yeah. I will say, I think one component of how I think we're getting tired of designs quicker because we're using them more. If you go back, you know, 10, 15 years ago to the skeuomorphic era of iOS, I don't think most people were spending, you know, 12 hours a day on their devices, but now we are. So we do expect, first of all, we expect everything to be extremely functional, which is why I think a lot of people do have some issue with the readability of liquid glass. But also, and perhaps more importantly, you're interacting with it and looking at it literally like 24/7. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, the amount of time in a day that I use Apple interface is probably extremely bad for my health, because I wake up, check my phone, go downstairs, run emails on my MacBook, come upstairs, film a video, edit in Final Cut Pro on a desktop, go turn on my Apple TV to watch a video at the end of the day. Like, I'm literally looking at Apple's design aesthetic 24 hours a day, pretty much. So when they make a change that's this big, I can't wait to get my hands on it. And that's why I will never wait until a week after release day, like you, crazy, crazy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll also say, to add on to what you said, it's not just that we're looking at our phones more, which is absolutely true, but it's the fact that you can do so much more and you expect so much more out of them. For some reason, I've gone down this rabbit hole recently of watching the old Steve Jobs keynotes introducing, I don't know, like one of them popped up on YouTube and I watched it, and then I got recommended and I kept watching them. So I watched like the iPod, I watched the iPod Touch, a few of the older iPods, a bunch of Mac stuff, Mac OS, whatever. I've been watching a bunch of them. But like, when you look at those videos and you see the kinds of things that you were doing on, you know, let's say an iPhone back then, it's a lot simpler than what you're doing now. So we are, the interfaces are a lot more complex. You can do a lot more things. They're cramming more features and whatever. So not only are you seeing everything more, but there's like more to see, if that makes sense. And there's more complex interactions and all this stuff. And so really, I think both of those together kind of age the design fast. It's like you're running battery cycles on this design, and it's, you know, aging faster.
Honestly, yeah. Here's my question to you, Sam, because I know that we talked briefly about WWDC takeaways. So if we open it up more broadly, because obviously liquid glass, the design, that's the majority of what people are talking about. But what were your other like highlights, lowlights? What's your, give us a grade for Dub 2025.
See, this is where it gets controversial, because I saw your take on Twitter after WWDC. You said, quote, best WWDC in years.
I did. Now, not necessarily that many years. I think, okay, I will say Vision Pro was a banger. Mm-hmm. And the Apple Silicon announcement was a banger. But even then, like, they announced it, but we didn't have a ton of details about it. So for this one, I do stand by it. I think last year's Dub would have been a banger if they executed on it, but they didn't. Mm. 2023 was Vision Pro, which was also good, but again, the product itself kind of retroactively made that Dub feel less interesting. Mm-hmm. And then 22, I mean, what did they do in 2022? M2. Bro.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's a spec bump. It wasn't really a big thing. I guess the redesigned MacBook Air was pretty good. But yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm trying to say I think you're wrong.
Okay, yeah. So what do you think? When was a better Dub?
I think I felt weird the entire day of Dub. Something just felt off, and it wasn't the design. I think Liquid Glass is really good. There's just not a lot of new features. Like, there's not much new actual stuff that they announced that you will use on a daily basis. And, you know, you've got the stuff in iOS, like, you know, call, hold, assist. But it's like, I'm not doing that often. I'm sure that'll be cool when I use it. And that's, again, we're assuming, but is that feature out? For some reason, I feel like that's not, like, available yet.
Oh, that very well could be one that's not, because a lot of those types of features don't come out on the betas.
Yeah.
So that might launch in September or October.
Maybe it's out. I could be totally wrong. I just feel like I don't trust it. I don't trust like that. And even like the AI thing, like there was nothing new for AI. It's like, okay, you can screenshot and ask. Apparently humans do that. I don't ever need that.
Yeah.
No, me neither. But you're forgetting Workout Buddy.
Okay, don't get me fucking started on Workout Buddy, dude.
You're going to use that every day. I know it.
Oh, great geez. Job. That was your best run yet. Keep it up, Sam.
Yeah, no, I said in my video that I'll kill myself before I use that video. Before I use that feature. I'm sorry.
Workout Buddy is so depressing. I know the type of this is so mean. I know the type of person Workout Buddy is made for, and I typically don't like that type of person. Like, I know who's gonna be like,
yeah,
yes, please have AI tell me I did good, and maybe it calls me mommy. Like, that's who wants Workout Buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it, but that was one where I was just like, this is what we're using AI for, is it tells me a good job. That's good. That's a good
one. We got a comment here. When I kill myself from using Workout Buddy, it'll say, great job. Your resting heart rate is now lower than last week.
That's a good one.
It's just, I saw Workout Buddy, and I saw people being so like, this is Apple's use of AI. And it's like, no, I don't think that's it.
I adopted a rosy cheeked and bushy tailed perspective on this year's AI. And I know that the reason that Apple was soft on AI this year was because their AI sucks. It's bad. They don't know what they're doing at all. But when you compare Dub to Google I.O., I was much more impressed with Dub and having handcrafted human designed features. That is what stood out to me. And I get that the reason that they did that is because their AI is donkey and they can't do anything with it. But what they did announce with AI was more, I think, integrated. And it was more, I said it in my video, it was AI as a supporting role instead of the main character. If you go and you watch Google I.O., they literally did not have a single topic that was not AI-based. I'm like, bro, this is getting out of hand. I get that there are people that like these AI features. That's fine. But for it to be literally an hour and 55 minutes of like, here's AI, and it can do this, and it can do this, and our AI is the best, and now it's video and photo and AI mode, and it can do this and that. And it's like, okay, dude, here's the deal. All of these all these people talking big about AI, at the end of the day, when I Google search and I see that AI summary show up at the top, I know that if it's a very vague search query, it's going to give me something maybe useful. But if I have any amount of detail, any amount of like specificity, I do a lot of car stuff. If I'm trying to troubleshoot or look into anything like that, the AI overview is functionally useless. Even if it does give you specific answers, half the time, once I do further research, it completely falls apart under scrutiny. So those features look really good in a keynote, but when you actually want to use them, you actually stop and think about, okay, how would I personally use this? I think it falls apart a lot. So yes, Apple's announcement was underwhelming from the standpoint of AI, but the AI that they do talk about, the features that they do talk about, feel a little bit more substantive and like they might actually yield useful results.
I mean, yeah. I'm with you. Google I/O is, there's a reason I don't watch that or care, because no offense, you know, to one of our compadres here, but you know, it's just like that. But that's what their conference has been for 5 years, bro. It's not a new. It's not just this year. It's been AI.
No, I know.
It's just Google has no sense of reality or what people care about, which is why they release a product and cancel it in 3 days.
Remember Stadia?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. That's just who they are. But it's just like the Apple event is good. It's just it felt light. I guess for the first Apple event in like 8 months, I was just looking for more. And I guess it, to be fair, it's the first year without hardware in a while, or like a big, yeah, you know, major new. I mean, Liquid Glass is that, but Liquid Glass is also subtle, and it fits into the existing metamorphosis of what they've had. Sorry, not metamorphosis, existing, you know, caricature of what iOS has been. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of part of me which is unrealistic, which wanted them to reinvent interaction on a mobile device, and that's not actually realistic for a billion users. So there was a little part of me, a medium part of me that was just like, damn, okay, that's the event. Okay.
I mean, that's fair. I guess from my perspective, so as far as the AI stuff's concerned, like, I think we're all kind of in agreement that like we're not a huge fan of the big like overt AI for the sake of AI kind of features. And so I agree, like, yeah, it was a bit light on AI, partially because they're still trying to deliver stuff that they promised last year. And so for that reason, I'm glad that they didn't, you know, advertise a bunch of new stuff that it's also going to get delayed because they're already backed up. So I'm glad about that. But also, like, I agree, the stuff that's AI for the sake of AI is not really for me. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that they announced, it's not overtly AI, but a lot of it has some sort of AI or, you know, something under the hood. And I agree that it was a little, it could have maybe been a little bit light on features, but I feel like we got the new design, which is kind of a big thing, a little bit more unification across all the platforms. That for me is kind of the bigger story than Liquid Glass. Like, Liquid Glass is like cool and it looks nice and it's definitely a big story, but also just the unification across all the platforms and they're really sort of moving in that direction. I think that's also kind of a big story that's worth talking about. And like, there were some little things. Honestly, my favorite thing was the lock screen. The fact that the time will stretch down to fit the pictures, because that's the wallpaper that I use. I use this wallpaper that like cycles through all of my different pictures on my phone. So I love when it does the thing. You can't really tell, but it's kind of doing it here, right? I love that effect. I think it's so cool. And the fact that more of the pictures in my photo library will work because the camera will just come down, the time will come down to see it. That's cool for me. And you could argue that's a little bit of AI to detect where the, you know, where the thing is and how far it should go down. But that's like genuinely useful to me because that's what I see every time I look at my phone and I see these memories of places I've been and I have these nice memories. And so that was my favorite feature.
You know what they say, a memory is worth 1,000 AI.
I agree.
I've heard that. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big saying.
Yeah.
And I think what's – okay, I want to pose a question to you guys and to the chat. which is I want to hear what interactions you guys have with AI in a given, maybe not day, let's say week. In your normal lives, what AI features are you using?
I mean, for me, it's basically just the AI overview in Google, I would say.
And do you use that because, like, is that something that you genuinely enjoy using, that you go and you seek out? Or do you use it just because it's there by default now?
No, I do like it in general. I like it more than I don't like it.
Okay. What about you, Noah?
I think the only, like, overtly AI feature that I use is, like, AI code completion, which is built into the code editor at my company. So if you're typing code, it's like autocomplete for code and whatever. But like that I find pretty useful. I don't ever tell it to generate code for me, but if I'm like typing a line and it suggests the, you know, the next line or whatever, I like that. That's the only real overt feature. And then I guess I have the notification summaries. I still have that enabled, but just the thing that like summarizes the thread of notifications on the iPhone. But I only have that enabled because it's really funny. I think like 90% of the time it's wrong. And I just love seeing what it comes up with and then being confused and then looking at it and like seeing what the actual truth is. I just think it's funny, so I kept it on. But it's like genuinely like not only not useful, but like it's annoying because I have to like tap to actually see everything. It like it hides the actual message behind some like misinformation, basically.
No, that is I can't remember the exact context of this, but there was one time where a friend was texting me about an argument in his relationship, and the AI summary said something to the effect of like, struggling through breakup seeks advice. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's a big deal. And then I opened it and I read, it was like a lot of messages. Not at any point did he even use the word breakup. I'm like, what, where is this coming from? And I think that aspect speaks to a lot of what makes AI like not trustworthy. Because I noticed, you know, I'm looking over here in the chat to see what people are using AI for. And I would say most of the people seem to be leaning towards like a couple of things. Like here's one from Neil saying he uses it for quick summaries of long videos or articles, for brainstorming. A lot of people that use ChatGPT instead of Google nowadays, which, you know, one could argue that that's basically like just having ChatGPT Google and then summarize it for you. Text to image just to test. Interactions are every day in Google Overview, similar to Sam. But I don't think that what we're seeing here is people using AI as like, I am obsessed with it. I can't live without it. I think that there's a disconnect between how companies are treating AI and how people are treating AI. Because think about it. We are three extremely involved tech enthusiasts. Literally full-time, 24/7, our job is to be tech enthusiasts. The people in the chat right now are the most highly engaged tech enthusiasts that you will find. And I'm not really seeing people in chat saying, I use it constantly. I can't live without it. It is where I've built a business. It is this, that, the other thing. You know what I mean? So how does this translate? Like how are companies, is this a bubble? Like what, when does reality come back to this?
I mean, I think they're just trying to get to where they want to be. Well, we saw a lot of this with like the early web too. Like not all websites were really good at first, but they were all building websites because if they get a really good website, then they win. And that's why we're seeing everybody on AI, because it's like there clearly is something here. Obviously, it's a bubble. I mean, look at NVIDIA stock started to go down a bit after, you know, the peak of the AI craze. Like I think they're all just trying to get something that is compelling. And I think a lot of investors are looking at Apple as like, oh, you need like an AI play, or like you need something, you know, interesting there. And I don't know. It's just, there is a disconnect, but I also think they're all just trying to get there. And I don't really know how else you get there other than...
My follow-up question to that then is, because you mentioned a lot of investors looking to Apple saying, you guys need something AI, right?
Mm.
So something that I'm starting to suspect is that a lot of this AI push is, like you said, it's driven by shareholders and expectations more than consumers. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of companies that are like, you know, oh, they're doing AI. We have to do AI. They want us to do AI. Everyone's waiting for our AI thing. But the people that are waiting are like tech bros and finance bros. I don't know that there's that many. I mean, if you think about like the normie people in your life, and I mean that honestly as a compliment, we are the weird ones. And everyone in chat, just you guys have to acknowledge we are all the weird tech enthusiasts in our respective families. But think about your friends and family who don't care about tech. I have started to notice, I'm not saying that AI is useless by any means. My mom has started using ChatGPT. And when that happens, shit, you know that it's real because she was on a flip phone until 2015. So, you know, we know that AI is going the distance when my mom's on board. But even then, it seems like it's a much smaller deal to everyone on the outskirts than it is to the people living and breathing it.
Yeah, I feel like the big thing about AI is, you know, you're saying about like it's being driven by shareholders and all that. And I feel like the thing about AI is it's sort of like this dream of like, oh, it's the technology that's actually smart and it can do things for you and automate. They're always talking about automating away all the boring stuff and like saving you time and like letting you do the things that you really care about. And there's all the talk about AGI, artificial general intelligence, which is just AI that can basically do anything and like actually think and reason through things. And so there's all of that. And I feel like that's sort of really where it's coming from, that it's sort of like this dream of what AI can be. And so if you launch something like sort of that, when people think of AI, maybe that's what people think of, or that's what the companies want you to think of, is this magical thing. And so the reason I think that everything's getting labeled with AI, everything's being called AI, all the companies are AI, the features and whatever, it's everything's AI because it's that it's associated with that dream and that sort of idea. It's just like, you know, you hear the word AI and that's what you think about. And so I think all the companies are kind of, you know, I think like you both said, they're kind of moving, they're trying to release the best AI and keep getting better to move towards that dream. Whether we actually get there or not is another question. But I think it's really that they're just trying to, you know, they're trying to go in that direction. But even if we're not there yet, and even if we never get there, it's just sort of, you know, the mental association that you have with it. And that's kind of what's driving a lot of this, I think.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll tell you what, though. At the end of the day, you're right. The AGI, that's the useful stuff. Stuff that, like, obviously an early example of that, if it existed at all, would be Apple's personal context, which is also something that Google announced at Google I.O. this year. So we'll see if Google is able to beat Apple to the punch on that one. But that was honestly the only time that I've seen an AI announcement and gone, hey, I would actually really use that. Like, that would actually be a core, frequently used feature and not just like a trick.
You tell me you're not using Mixmoji, bro.
You know what? I'm going to be so real. I did not remember. How do you even use that one? I'm on the beta now.
Dude, just go to Genmoji. Yeah. It like where the emojis actually look pretty.
That's surprising. So yeah. how do I use it? I'm on Genmoji here.
Tap on two emojis, bro.
All I have to do is pull up two emojis.
It's that simple.
Suggested.
Like this? Okay, we got... Watch this. These are very different. I love how it's fast. Oh, wait, I have to send it.
It's doing it on device, bro. Can we do something?
I have the crying. Okay.
See, that's fun. That's a good job.
It's not bad. It's... Oh, no!
Okay, well, you went through the list.
Oh, no! Some of them are a little scary. I will say that is infinity times better than Genmoji. Because Genmoji is abysmal garbage. Is a little rough.
Yeah. But yeah, I so like that's AI, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But that's AI that I feel, I mean, okay, I'm realistically never going to use Genmoji or Mixmoji. Sorry, really? Not going to happen.
Really? See, I actually use it maybe once, twice a week.
Really?
Doing a little emoji, yeah. Huh. It's pretty fun.
But so here, walk me through the thought process then. Like, what's a scenario where you're like, this is a Mixmoji moment?
Mom sends me a text, the dog, picture the dog. Okay. She's sleepy, so I'll send back an emoji of a sleepy dog.
See, I feel like at that point, I would just send the dog emoji and the sleep emoji.
Or like if you're a lazy piece of shit, I'm sure your mom expects that from you. Some of our moms expect a little better from us. I mean, it shows intention. It shows care that I made a Mixmoji.
Do you
think she cares about that?
Dude, somebody the other day said, how you make that emoji? Actually, our boy who we play pickleball with, he was like, how'd you make that? Because it's my favorite. I got to show this. This Genmoji's fire, dude. I got to show this.
Okay. Is it a Genmoji or a Mixmoji?
This is a Genmoji. This is iOS 18, but it's really good.
Okay.
Keep entertaining them. I'm almost there.
Okay, because I've never had a successful Genmoji creation that wasn't a cursed nightmare beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, I've only used it a couple of times, but I have to agree with you.
He's got his tongue out and he's waving. Why is it just not focusing?
That is it's helping by getting even closer to the camera.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, here, can I make a counter argument about emojis?
I love that. Sure.
Okay. I think that emojis, as a standard of communication, I think it's more useful and entertaining to use the limited resources of common agreed upon emojis to communicate a thought or emotion, as opposed to being able to just generate one that perfectly fits what you need. Do you know what I mean? In the same way that okay, think about it this way. The laugh out loud, the laughing with tears coming out the side, that was the LOL emoji from 2014 to 18. And then in 2019 to 2020, arguably current, it was the skull emoji for I'm dead. And then more recently, we've started seeing people using the wilted rose emoji as a sort of an ironic twist, right?
Oh, really?
So what that is, yeah.
Oh, I didn't
yeah.
know. It doesn't mean funny.
It's not necessarily the same type of thing. But yeah, it's like it means irony.
You're mixing all kinds of linguistic techniques, buddy.
But that's my point. It is a linguistic technique because you're using this existing set of emojis to ascribe meaning instead of just being able to say, I'm going to create one in this one-off scenario that I'll never use again, or maybe I will very infrequently. It doesn't have the same sort of linguistic je ne sais quoi to it, if you will.
So what, we shouldn't have given Picasso a MacBook or an iPad with Apple Pencil if he couldn't have one? Because, he should be limited to his art tools of the time. No, give
I mean, I would argue that a Picasso made on an iPad probably wouldn't have the same effect. Yeah. Straight up, yeah.
No, I think you got to give people the tools, bro.
You make what you can with the tools, but I think AI...
Give people everything.
Genmoji isn't really... I don't know. I just think... Okay, here's a good example. Good things happen when difficulty is conquered. Maybe a little bit dramatic when applying to emojis, but the point still stands that I think as a linguistic technique, I mean, think about it this way. What if every time I wanted to express surprise to you, I just made up a new word on the spot? I just went, "Gersquoinks! That sure was a crazy thing that you just said." No, it's more interesting when you have to work with the building blocks of language that we have to create meaning instead of just generating new things.
Okay, Grandpa, it's time for bed.
Here's the thing. I agree with you, Luke. You're starting to sound like me talking about the trackpad.
Exactly.
Scrolling. I'm going to be honest with you.
No!
But But I do agree with you. I don't know. I'm just like the dog sleeping emoji or whatever. I'm like, I'm going to send the dog. I'm going to send the sleeping emoji. Put them next to each other. You know, read between the lines. Do what you're going to do. I don't know. It's the other thing is that it's a lot of effort to make a Gemoji. Or when I say a lot of effort, I mean, relatively speaking, it's a lot of effort versus like, you know, pick this emoji, send versus like, I'm going to go into Gemoji. I'm going to describe what I'm thinking of. It's going to take a few seconds, generate something. I have to make sure it's the right one. And then I pick it and then it goes in. Not to mention it only works in iMessage, so you can't use it everywhere, but iMessage is still pretty good, so it's not bad. But I'm just saying, like, it's a lot. True. I feel like it's a lot of additional effort. I almost wonder, like, if you typed something out and the keyboard, you know how the keyboard suggests emojis? Like, you type a word and it suggests the related emojis. If I could, like, type a sentence and it suggested an emoji to put on the end of it, like a Gemoji to put on the end of it, maybe that could be fun. Maybe if it generated something good, I would use it. But, like, as it currently stands, it's a lot of extra effort, and I just don't think it's worth putting in the extra effort for, like, a quick text message. You know, it's a quick, quick chat.
That's fair. That's fair. I think that's very reasonable. And I don't think that makes us sound like grandpas. I think Sam's just like a giant Gerber baby.
I'll show you. This is what you look like talking about Gemoji.
It's just like a very vague... This joke is not landing because we can't see shit.
Oh.
That just looks like...
That's you, bro. Angry.
Wow.
I tried old to do man angry yells at and cloud. Old and it didn't work.
That kind of underscores my point.
And old. Hold on. But now I know who you are. Just you wait, Buster. New Gemoji about to drop. This is going to get him, guys. This is
hold up.
Get
put
him.
The conversation on hold. We got to generate a Gemoji here.
Yeah, this really here we flows go. Wait, so this looks, well.
See, this looks just like you when you're old and angry.
Actually, how would you know? Young.
Yeah, look, but you're more angry here.
I don't look old at all there. That looks like the same exact picture that you already showed us.
Wait for it. It's trying. Come on.
Is it trying? Is Gemoji also focusing your camera here? This is taking forever.
I'm not.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I'm attacking now. Oh, geez.
Oh, it's
that
almost
really
clear.
Did not work a single moment. What camera are you using? What is this autofocus?
I got that's it crazy. At like a KitchenAid.
The camera?
Yeah. What? It was on sale.
KitchenAid? Are you using a blender?
I'm not using a blender.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Can you make a
so
smoothie?
I want
to. Okay, we've only got a few minutes left. Haven't even said the one big announcement. You're dragging this show with emoji talk. The people want content.
What do you
so
mean
I'm
the one big
to
announcement?
Them, okay? iPad OS, they fixed the iPad. Nobody said a damn word.
Oh, yeah,
for an
yeah.
Hour.
We have to. Okay, I forgot okay, about okay. that. Okay, yeah. Have you used it yet? Either of
yes.
you?
Yes.
You have.
No,
oh,
I haven't used it yet.
Because he has to wait until the 2027
okay.
iPad comes out.
Bro, do you think? I'm actually curious. Do you think that's gonna run well on a 2018 iPad Pro? Because that thing is starting to lag a little bit. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Really? Okay.
I have noticed.
I don't use it that often, but when I take it out and turn it on to use it, it's like genuinely slow for a while. And I get that it's catching up and, you know, doing a bunch of stuff in the background, but like it takes a little while of just like being really slow. And then it's like okay, but it's starting to show its age a little bit.
I think it's broadly really good. I think it's closer than they've ever been. And I think it's made me want to use my iPad more, which I have not been able to say about an iPad OS update ever. Usually it's just like the same or I want to use it less. It's Stage Manager. If you saw Stage Manager and saw this and you're like, oh, I guess it's just the same thing. No, totally different. Stage Manager, one of the worst ideas they've ever had. This, one of the best ideas they've ever had because the windows are freeform. So just like a Mac, they don't need to fit into it. They scale in real time. And it looks weird, but that's what it looks like on any other computer. And it's very good.
Also really like how they handled the traffic lights.
Yes. Small and then gets bigger. That's exactly how you should be handling touch on a small interface like that. Yeah, just a really good job. Really, really, I mean, I can't believe it. I genuinely can't believe it.
No, it's really quite something. I will say, there is a learning curve to it. Because at the end of the day, and the problem is, the more that we go down this rabbit hole with iPad OS, the more I kind of just want straight up Mac OS. I think this is a very good step. However, ultimately, I think I want a full-on desktop mode that's persistent. Because one issue that I've still had with this is that if you like shoo away all the windows, I have not been able to get them all back. Like, if you layer a couple of windows on top of each other in this new iPad OS, swipe up to go back to normal home screen, you have to rebuild everything. And I think that's always been my problem with iPad OS, is it always tried to do things for you. And macOS has never done that. macOS, it's like you click a thing, it opens a window, it's up to you. But the iPad, they always try to make it slick and ooh and ooh and ah, and look at this and we'll do it for you and whatnot. And it always just comes across as like, it doesn't work the same way, because it doesn't, Sam is stimming out over here. He's now in front of bricks. And it's eaten up his entire head and ears.
I just picked up my camera.
Oh, yeah?
Went to the brick store.
Is that so? And the other thing that I saw in chat here is they took away slide over without a replacement. And that I did notice, and that I was annoyed about. I used slide over fairly often, because it was just a little, it was kind of easy.
I never used it ever.
Really?
No.
Wow. Sorry. But what about, did you use split screen?
Yeah. But you can still do that.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I don't know. I guess I can understand that it would have been a little bit too confusing if they kept slide over. And like they got rid of Stage Manager too, right? That's not a thing.
No, you can still use it.
You can?
There's three modes. It's iPad mode, Stage Manager mode, new mode.
That's horrific. They need to get rid of Stage Manager fast. Good God.
Fair.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You're talking about like, oh, you wish it was full macOS. And like, to an extent, I can definitely see that. Okay. Maybe not full macOS, but closer. But I feel like they're moving in the right direction, hopefully. Because bro, Sam is going all over the place right now. Here's the thing. They're moving in the right direction. Okay. It sounds like you both agree. And from what I've seen, I haven't used it, but from what I've seen, it seems like it's a lot better than it was before in terms of, you know, window management and file management. Those were kind of the two big things. Yes. So we're going in the right direction. Plus, Apple is clearly, you know, trying to unify their operating systems a bit more. It's all the same version number. If you look at the structure of like their website talking about these updates, you go to like the like OS page, and then there's like sub pages for all the different operating systems. So it's very much signaling that they're trying to unify things. And I'm not saying that the iPad is going to run Mac OS or it's going to ever be, you know, that close, but hopefully they're going in that direction. And whatever qualms or issues you have, if they don't get fixed in the betas or improved in the betas, you know, next year they'll keep going in this direction and it'll get better.
It's so funny that it's taken them. I mean, if we start the clock for when people started to really want more out of iPad OS, I would say the year is 2018. Because pre-2018, the iPad was always kind of like, what if the iPhone but bigger? And that was always kind of like, okay, sure, whatever. But the 2018 iPad Pro is when Apple said, okay, we want to do more with this. And that's when we all started saying, okay, then you have to make it do more. And 7 years later, 7 freaking years, they finally add just normal tiled windows. Like, holy hell. I know that Apple is often late to the party, but that is a next level.
Yeah. Sam, do you want to say something?
No, I was just I saw a comment that said Sam is ready for pickleball, and they were right.
Yeah,
I think my attention span has gotten worse. In the 2 weeks I stopped podcasting, it is hard to sit here for an hour. I don't know if you guys feel that way.
Wait, but you guys would run episodes that were like 2 hours all the time. You just not like us? Are we boring for you, Sam?
You could pick it up a little bit, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez. It's not stimulating enough for I need, Sam.
Can one of you hold up TikTok and scroll like every 20 seconds?
Yeah, should we have Subway Surfers on the side?
We need a fourth, we need a fourth column here with Subway Surfers in it. That'd be perfect.
Is that a feature?
I mean,
it's just be one button, a one button feature in StreamYard.
Okay. Oh, that's a good idea. I think you're right. That is exactly what we need. So also, as we're finishing up this episode here, Sam, I will go ahead and I'll just help you out. So okay. Continue with your thought.
Oh, thank you.
Perfect.
As I was saying, I actually felt a sense of relief when you pulled that up. I'm not even trolling.
Oh my goodness. That's actually unhinged.
As I was saying, I think the iPad is in a good spot. I also like how this is it at 10 FPS for you guys too?
Yeah, it's
okay, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Wait, they have a desktop version?
Yeah, I'm learning that now as well. This is dangerous. Wait,
are you playing or is this a video?
No, this is a video.
Oh, I was like, yo, that's kind of you're sick that you're multitasking.
No, I don't have that level of talent.
You guys didn't even thank the one super chat we got.
That was for you, buddy.
I didn't
buddy.
See that.
Well, I know, but it's not my show, so I can't
hang
talk
on a second.
About it.
Hang on a second. Let me. I'm going
right,
up.
Well, let's
I'm going
let's
up.
Let's address that real quick.
Okay, we have a super chat here, Sam. We missed your honest pod. Did you stop due to low views and low sponsors? Oh God! Or is it all for money? How about interacting with us? You don't even reply on X. Wow.
Ooh, that's brutal. That's scathing.
Did you know that this was? You could have left this on the cutting room floor. You were the one that brought this up.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear you read it because this is what most of the post GSBAR comments have sounded like.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
The other day, I commented on Andrew Edwards' podcast. I was like, just when we needed him most. And somebody was like, just when we needed you most, you left us to die. You're dead to me.
Oh,
and it had like six thumbs ups.
Oh, my God. So what's your response to the allegations?
Let me address this once and for all. I'll answer the questions in order. Sam, we miss you on our pod. Thank you. Did you stop to low views and use low sponsors? No. Our views are actually, I think, consistently the highest they've ever been. Is it all for money? No. Otherwise, I would have kept doing it. I actually am losing like 10 to 15% of my annual income because we stopped it. How about interacting with us? You don't even reply on X. I don't reply to a lot of people, so it's not like a personal thing. I also just like, I guess it's like, what am I supposed to say? Like, God, this is so dystopian seeing Subway Surfers play as I'm a
joke. Yeah, I know.
I thought about pulling it down, but I said, you know what? We got to keep it.
This is a Christmas update too, which is a really good time of the year.
I agree.
I don't know. I haven't replied cause it's like, what do I say? Like it's not coming back and I don't want to give people hope or like any, you know, I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, if it's just kind of let it die down. And it is unfortunate, but yeah, it is what it is. Some people made choices.
Oh, he got the jetpack. Oh, he lost it.
Yeah. And now we're here. So now we're watching Subway Surfers on dark mode. I'm sorry. I know it was hard. Yeah. I wish it didn't have to end, but, it did. And I, trust me, I want to say more too, but it is not, it is not for me to say, as they say.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, look, that's the thing that's kind of how it goes with, something like, especially a podcast, there's two people involved in it and you know, any number of things can happen, but you guys had a really good run.
Yeah.
You guys had a lot of great fans. I mean, you guys were what, 5 years almost?
4 years. 4 years. Wow. I think you're going to outlive us now because you started right after.
That's true. But we miss way more. You guys barely ever missed a week. And we, at least a couple of months, we were a monthly podcast, not a weekly podcast.
Yeah. Until the last 6 months. Then we started missing a lot. But
yeah.
People are saying spill it. Oh, no. No, I won't.
It's not Sam's to spill.
Yeah. Yeah, if I spilled let's just say life would not improve for the world. And I the world's got enough going on right now, bro.
Yeah. No, that's honestly fair. That's fair. There's no real, like, I've had a couple of those instances where I'm like, I could go public with a certain piece of information or drama or something that irks me. But at the end of the day, what do you really get out of that?
Yeah, what do I get? Nothing. I don't, and that's like, I don't, you know.
And even the viewer, like, I don't know what would Sam be able to say that would make you feel better or worse or different about the situation?
I love tea. So like I empathize with all. This is the first time in my life where I've been like, oh, what actually happened? This was so abrupt. I need to, like, trust me, I'm locked into that stuff. and there's so much tea in the tech community. Like, I've learned just, like, growing. Oh, God. Like, there's so. Is there any, like, light tea I could spill to satiate? I'm trying to think. No, that person's in, like, a bad space, so I shouldn't say that.
I mean, I feel public. Like we spilled good tea on Apple last week.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Like, you guys got plenty of tea from us, you know? There was plenty of stuff.
Yeah.
People are saying, can you confirm John is alive? I have no idea. I have not spoken to him. So I'm not sure about his status. Do any of you have an update on whether or not John is alive?
I have not.
I haven't talked to him so long.
Yeah, okay. It's been a very long time for me as well.
I wish that I had more info, but I do not. People are saying, why is the game
That's the real, focus. Here.
Yeah, okay, you can take it off now. I am about to vom.
I was really... I mean, this is a legendary run, I have to say. He's doing great work.
I got into it. I wasn't even paying attention to whatever you were saying. I was just locked into that gameplay.
I know, me too. But yeah, I don't know. I think that life is unfortunate sometimes, and that is a story of life, isn't it? Life has its ups and downs.
It sure does.
So yeah, I hope I could provide, by providing no clarity, I hope I provided you with some clarity.
Your lack of clarity is very clarifying, Sam.
Okay, thank you.
Yes,
thank
you. And I think there's one more thing that we might need to clarify.
Oh, is that the show is over?
Yes, indeed.
And is that that I've been your host, Luke Miani?
Yes, and we should also clarify that I've been your host, Noah Rubin.
Yes, we should clarify that. And we should clarify that maybe Sam will come on in the future at some point.
If he can, we can practice. See. We'll get the Subway Surfers queued up so that you can enjoy your time on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been super fun. Sorry. I was just replaying Subway Surfers and
not the
he
music.
Was thinking about the guy kept missing some coins, you know. I was like, come on, man, you gotta do a little better.
I know he missed a jetpack one time. I was like, oh, that's
obviously
it's gonna cost him.
Amateur hour.
You can't do that.
Yeah, Luke and I are gonna go play pickleball. Noah, you're gonna be in town. Will you come play pickleball with us?
Of course, I like pickleball.
Hell yeah. Have you played before?
Yeah, I play here sometimes.
Whoa,
I'm not saying I'm good, but I've played.
Yeah,
so
we're
I have
not
my,
saying
I have my,
we're good.
I have my own paddles. You know, I'll bring my
paddles. You have
paddles.
Your own paddles?
Yeah, I'll bring my paddles.